Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank Brother Hill for those leading us in those songs on this afternoon. I want to thank you for being with us to participate in worship service to our God on this afternoon. I want to take this time, as Brother Brooks did on this morning, and simply honor all those that are mothers and say to you, thank you for that which you have done as mothers. And God knows that which you've done, and we just want to be respectful. Man has set aside a day to show honor. We want to do likewise and also just simply say thank you for that which you have done. I want to thank you again for, again, being with us as we begin to open up another book of the Word of God. We completed those that were with us and were able to listen to the messages that we brought forth from 1st and from 2nd Peter, where Peter talked to Christians about how to live as Christians, how to deal with issues. And so what we want to do on this afternoon, as the scripture that was read in your hearing, we want to begin with the book of 1 John, look at the three letters that John wrote. And as we saw from Peter how one was to live, I think it also is necessary to see to the whom the one is in whom we live and learn more about him being God the Father and the personality of Jesus Christ. So John writes to Christians of his day concerning the personality of Christ, what he felt, what he thought. And also he talks about two essential characteristics of God the Father. And as we talked about our title on this afternoon, that God is light and also God is love. And so on this afternoon, we want to speak from the first few verses that John wrote in 1 John regarding the subject title being that God is light and in him is no darkness. God is light and in him is no darkness. And if you are one that with worshiping with us on this afternoon, we want you to know, as I like to share from Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, where Jeremiah acknowledges when he says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So man, Jeremiah realized that man needs a spiritual guide, needs spiritual leadership. And Jesus gave us the platform or the place where that comes from. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible says, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that leadership, that spiritual guide will come from the kingdom of God, that which you ought to seek first, the kingdom, and the righteousness of God. And then we find that kingdom named in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, where the Bible records praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So I want you to know, if you're out there on this afternoon listening, as was shared this morning by Brother Brooks, my co-laborer in the Word of God at Highland Heights, that you are one that needs to obey God, needs to do the will of God. And it's our responsibility to share with you what God's will is for your life, that you can become a child of God, knowing that God is light and that in him is no darkness. So John begins this letter in John, chapter 1 and verse 1. John begins by acknowledging Christ when he says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands handled, of the word of life. So the Apostle John begins this writing about his personal experiences with Jesus by noting three physical senses possessed by the human body as the evidence of the reality concerning Jesus. Note what he said. He said, this Christ that was eternal, he said, this Christ we have heard. That's the ability to hear. He said, not only that, we have seen him. That's with our eyes. We have looked upon him, John wrote. And then John said, not only that, we have handled this Christ. The testimony that John offered was with reference to Jesus being in the flesh. He's the second person in the Godhead. He is the Lord himself, and he refers to him as the word of life. So now we are looking at in John's writing. You know, John wrote to those Christians everywhere about the Christ, about the God in whom he served. And so in talking about that, we have to go back to John's writing. And John, the gospel according to John, in John chapter 1, and the verse is number 14, where John says, and the Word, Christ is referred to as the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And notice what he says again, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. So John records in his gospel that this Jesus was made flesh, because there were some that would deny that Christ was a God put on flesh. And so Jesus says in John chapter 14 of that gospel, John 14, and the verse is number 6, where Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is not only the Word, he is also the life. And that's why when John penned this letter in 1 John, he said the Word of life. Jesus, as John records, is that Word of life. That's who Christ is. And so then in verse number 2, John, in parentheses, said, he repeats what he said in verse 1, for the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. So John says that the life, talking about Christ, was able to be seen and known. John says, we have seen it, and we can testify. And now we can report unto you that eternal life, talking about Christ, which was with the Father and was made known. John says to us, this verse simply explains verse number one. In parentheses, John writes that to explain about the Christ again, solidifying that with the three of the senses that God gave man, if they are functional, your eyesight, your hearing, and your ability to touch, you can recognize that Christ was and is who he is. And then John says, that which we have seen, verse number three, and heard, John says, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. John says, this Christ that we have seen, and this same Christ that we announce unto you, we do it that you may have fellowship with us. And I want to say that fellowship here means a partnership between Christians of sharing in the resurrection life possessed in Christ. We have a fellowship, and those that are in Christ with us, we form a partnership of acceptance of the word of life, a unity in faith, practice, and worship. Understand this. We can only have fellowship with those that are in a common bond with us. Note what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 when we talk about that fellowship and what determines that fellowship that we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the verse is number 9. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then he tells us how that fellowship is formulated and qualified. He said, now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Those are the things that keep us in fellowship one with another. Again, we have one faith. We also practice our worship is according to the word of God. And so Paul wrote to those Christians that you're in fellowship. You're in fellowship. It is a common faith based on unity of teaching and practicing. We have to say, we have to stand for those that assemble when we're able to, when the building is completed and we're able to get back into the building. We have that unity of teaching and practice that is shared by others in the Church of Christ that worship God according to the Word of God. And so John said, going back to 1 John chapter 1 and closing on verse number 3, he said, now, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So the fellowship that we have as Christians extends into heaven, and it includes both the Father and the Son, to our fellowship that we have, is not only with those of like precious faith, but that also we have a partnership. We have a fellowship. We are partners with God, with Jesus, in this relationship we have that John now was identifying to those to whom he writes. And he said, "And these things write we unto you." Notice what he says, "that your joy may be full." You know, when you think about the relationship, the partnership, the fellowship that Christians can have one with another, it's unlike any other. It's unlike any other. And so even those that may be our friends, and even those that are our relatives, you know, the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 6, and the verse is number 10. Note how that relationship is looked at by Paul when he wrote to the church at Galatia. In Galatians 6 and 10, Paul said, "As we have therefore opportunity," notice what he said, "let us do good unto all men." But then he put a "especially." There, we do good to all men, but there's another level that's higher than just all men. He said, "especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I talked about that faith that we have. We are in a household. We are in that oneness together. And so that's what we have, that relationship one with another, that fellowship one with another. You know, that's why when Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, Paul said in verse 14, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou oughtest, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So I'm talking about that relationship, that special relationship. Those are the same household of faith. And when we have fellowship one with another, that joy that we have, you know, we begin having a fellowship, those of us that take collections on Saturday, for those that drive by, we have developed a fellowship that we are able to get together. Those brothers, you know who you are, Brother Miles, Brother Williams, Brother Whitaker, Brother Pete, Brother Pedger, Cass Brown came by yesterday. It's just a fellowship. And that's what John was talking about, that your joy may be full. You know, when we get together, sometimes the young people say we just sitting around and we just kicking it. We are simply having discussion. Sometimes we deal with world affairs. There are times when we deal with spiritual matters, but it's the fellowship that we have that is unlike any other relationship. And that's why I said in my messages previously, be careful if the most joy you have are with those that are outside of Christ. I will inspect myself. My joy, this should be full when I'm having fellowship with those that are in Christ. And again, like I said, for the last year, we have been assembling, rotating on Sunday, those that drive by and come pick up your communion or leave your offering. Well, our brothers there, we have a fellowship that we kind of look forward to getting together and just spending time one with another. And we have, I know I can say, I've grown closer to each of those men that I've spent greater time with. And that's what John was saying. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And then he says, in verse number 5, we get to our subject title. This then is the message, John said. This is the message which we have heard of him. And John says, and declare unto you. What is the message? That's my title. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John was talking about the nature of God and then what darkness represents. So, what is the meaning of God is light? Well, I'll use two scriptures from Paul's writing in Romans to share that thought with you on this afternoon. In Romans chapter 15, and the verse is number 8, Paul wrote, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the Father. What Paul wanted them to understand, one thing about light, light is truth, and God is faithful in his fulfillment of the truth. That's why Paul said that he was saying now that Jesus Christ is that servant of the circumcision for the truth of God. And he confirmed the promises that God made unto the Father. Yeah, God did that. God is truth. So when I think about God is light, the nature of God is that God is truth. And if I'm one that want to be a servant of God, then God becomes truth for me. God is truth. And we ought to carry ourselves in truth. We walk in truth. We live our lives according to the truth that is in God. That's the light that John wrote to those Christians when he wrote unto them, and he shared with them that you are truth. You are to live as truth, because God is light and God is truth. And then secondly, in Romans chapter 2 and the verse is number 4, when we talk about the nature of God, not only is God truth, but when we talk about God in that nature, Paul said to them early in the Romans letter in chapter 2, and the verse is number 4. Paul asked the question, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So Paul, a second characteristic of God is light. God has a goodness about him. God has a kindness about him. God has a way about him that Paul said, if you knew the kindness of God, that would lead you to repentance. Knowing that God has put up with us, that's forbearance. That God has suffered long with us. Paul said those characteristics of God in which he is rich in, God is rich in his goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering. Paul said those characteristics of God should lead one to want to repent. And so God is kindly. God is, that's the nature of God. And then John says, as I move toward a close this afternoon, is that the God we serve, in him is no darkness at all. In Ephesians chapter 11, Ephesians chapter 6, and the verse is number 11. Yeah, I'm in a new Bible if I go to Ephesians chapter 11. In Ephesians chapter 6, and the verse is number 11, it talks about the devil and what the devil represents. Notice what Paul said to the Ephesians. He said, put on, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the scheme of the devil. Then he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when the Bible talks about darkness, that the devil represents the darkness of this world. When you talk about immorality, things that are immoral, when you talk about ungodliness, when you talk about sin, that comes from the devil. The devil wants us to live immoral, not moral, because God is a moral and righteous God, but the devil is immoral. God wants us to live a godly life, but the devil wants us to live ungodly. And then the devil is about sin in our lives. And so we have to realize that that was the reason for the God that we serve. And Jesus died for those. Notice in the Romans letter, as I close, where the Bible says, Romans 5 and verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the devil wants us to live outside of the will of God, where Jesus died so that we could be obedient to the will of God. And so talking about Christ dying for us, that moves me into what is required by God for one to become a child of God. One has to recognize and acknowledge, as John wrote to them about what they had heard, what they had seen, and what they had handled. Well, we have the Word of God. We don't have to. We see by faith, we hear by faith, and we handle by faith all that Christ did in this lifetime. That Luke wrote about, that which Jesus began both to do and to teach. We have the pages of inspiration that has been recorded for us to know that Jesus and God loved us enough that Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was nailed to that cross. I'm closing in John chapter 3. John, we're going to use his letter. First John, we can go into John to close and extend the gospel. In John chapter 3, Jesus made paramount to a man that was a Pharisee in John chapter 3. He shared with him how this man, after Christ died on the cross, be buried in a tomb and rise the third day, never to die again, which is referred to as the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:1, that Christ that died for our sins want us to be obedient to his word, that we can become a Christian, a member of the church of Christ, and a child of God. How does that happen? Jesus shared it with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and the verse is number 1. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Notice Jesus' response to this man who came to him by night that we can identify as a seeker. Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, No, but you can be born again spiritually. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except then he showed him how, except a man be born of water, that's baptism, and of the Spirit, that's at the instruction of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So one becomes a Christian. Notice he says, that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. So one must hear the gospel, believe that message, repent of their sins, meaning turn to God. Make the confession that you'll find in Acts 8:37, where the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you make that confession, then be baptized in water, as Jesus instructs here. And the Lord will add you to the church. All your past sins will be washed away. You are a new creature in Christ. And so if there's one that would like to put Christ on in baptism, if there's someone that is prodigal, that's on the call, that want to come back home, we will give you this opportunity as we extend the Savior's invitation. Thank you very much. I turn you back over to our faithful hands of our song leader.